Dominic Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. So DeShone Kizer has been released by the Titans today. They're signing quarterback Matt Barkley. And it's funny because, remember, Caroline, someone texted into the text line early in camp last week and said, do you think the Titans have made up their mind? And I said, yeah, I think they made up their mind Woodside over Kizer.
You said that from maybe not day one of camp, day two of camp.
Yeah, the second day of camp, I said, yeah, they made up their mind. It's Woodside over Kizer. And it wasn't even close. And I feel bad for Kizer because I like him. But this was not a hard decision to make, in my opinion. You know, some people say, these decisions are the hardest decisions to make in the NFL.
They say that.
They're not hard decisions to make. No disrespect to DeShone Kizer. Now, they've brought in Matt Barkley. Now, remember, Matt Barkley beat Marcus Mariota in a game, 4 years ago in Arizona, beat Marcus Mariota. And so we all know Matt Barkley played at USC. He's been team to team to team for the last handful of years. I'm going to say this about Barkley. I don't think he's here to compete with Logan Woodside for the job. I think he is here to get you through the three preseason games because Tannehill's going to barely play. And so Woodside's going to play, but he's not going to play a lot. And then, Matty, you got him. And so that's why I think he's here. Now, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I'll watch him at practice starting tomorrow, but that's why I think he's here. In fact, I put together a list. I think 8 guys right now I'm just ready to go ahead and release. Like, I was ready to release Kizer. And I think the Titans are kind of there, too. Like, I'm ready to release Tucker McCann, the kicker. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to release James Smith, the punter. Now, I'm releasing James Smith. I don't think I've seen him punt a ball. But Brett Kern is going to be the punter of this team. I'm ready to release Kalijah Lipscomb, the wide receiver from Vanderbilt. I'm ready to release Brady Breeze, the safety rookie from Oregon. I'm ready to release Miller Forrestall, the tight end. And I'm definitely ready to release Daniel Munyer, the center, who keeps fumbling the snaps. And I'm ready to release Jared Pinkney, the tight end. Everybody else still got a chance to crack the roster if I'm doing it. But there have been guys I've just seen at camp that I'm like, it's been good to see you. Coach would like to talk to you.
Thank you so much for everything that you've done. It's not you, it's me.
Denise down the hallway will take care of you as far as getting your flights and everything else taken
care of. She's so hardworking.
Goodbye. Time for headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's headlines with Caroline on Stillman and Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Are you tired of hearing about Aaron Rodgers yet?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's too bad. So Aaron Rodgers today after camp said that he made it a priority to stay in communication with Jordan Love in the offseason, even when he wasn't in practice, even when he wasn't reporting to workouts. But he did tell the media today that his relationship with Brian Gutekunst, general manager of the Green Bay Packers, is a, quote, work in progress. He says relationships aren't formed in a matter of a couple of days. There's time where the respect grows and the communication follows. I think the greatest relationships that you have with your friends and loved ones involved conversation and flow. First of all, I'm so over these cryptic conversations that Aaron Rodgers is having, like these proverbs that he is saying in his post-game, post-practice interviews. I'm over it. And also, I think it is so weak to publicly talk about the relationship between you and your general manager.
Yeah, Aaron's a crybaby. I mean, like, here's the thing about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron is a crybaby, but here's what's happened. I've never had a 13-year-old kid, but I think I've seen this enough and I've heard enough stories. You know when the 13-year-old's like, I'm going to run away, Mom and Dad, and then never does.
Yeah, I've been that 13-year-old kid before.
There's not an option.
It's all talk.
Yeah, there's not an option. So what do? You go in your room and you pout about it, and you make everybody else around you miserable. And that's what Aaron's doing. That's because that's who Aaron is. And I'll be honest with you. I don't think Green Bay can compete for a title this year. With Aaron crying like a baby every single day. And Aaron has shown us he has no interest in stopping his crybaby antics. I don't think you can win a championship that way.
Which is a shame because they have one of the best, if not the best, pass catchers in the game. They have a really good running back. Like, they have the blueprint for a championship team.
Even when Brady and Belichick, when the story came out that year that Brady hated Belichick and Garoppolo got shipped out and all of that. And then the final year where Brady did the contract, they didn't win the Super Bowl. Like, they didn't win the Super Bowl either year. Now, they came close, but they didn't win it. And I just don't think you can win a Super Bowl with your quarterback rocket launching shots at your general manager every day. There's no way that doesn't divide the locker room. There's no way. This is not The Last Dance, and he's not Jerry Krause. Like, there are people in that locker room. Like, let's take Jordan Love, for example. How the hell is Jordan Love supposed to react to all of this?
I think his job must be so uncomfortable and awkward.
Like, let's say Aaron did stay in touch with Jordan Love, which I don't believe.
I don't necessarily believe it.
Let's say Aaron did. What's Jordan Love supposed to do? I'm running practice at OTAs tomorrow. I'm the number one quarterback. My coach is treating me like I'm the starter. I think I'm probably yes sir, no sir the whole time I'm out there. And I got Aaron sitting there being like, you know, yeah, man, like, we're still guys. I just want you to know, like,
that's so awkward.
Like, Jordan Love has no interest, and I'm just assuming, probably has no interest in being friends with Aaron Rodgers. Just like Aaron had no interest in Brett, and when it was time for him to take Brett's job, he took Brett's job. So I think Aaron Rodgers is such a crybaby, and I'm so over it.
And if I'm Jordan Love, I'm kind of sick of being a little toy that is being pulled both sides. It's almost like the kid who's in the middle of a really nasty divorce with their parents just being pulled each way and just being lied to and manipulated almost, it feels like.
It's never like Jordan Love was drafted because we believe in him to be the future of our organization.
No.
Or Jordan Love could be our starting quarterback
because we believe in him.
And it's like, no. They're putting that out there, everybody on TV, they're putting it out there that Jordan can start because they want to send that message to Aaron, and I'm not sure I'd enjoy that. What's next?
So Minnesota Vikings corner Jeff Gladney on Tuesday was indicted by a Texas grand jury for felony assault of a woman that he used to be in a relationship with. So he was a first-round pick out of TCU, started 15 games for the Vikings as a rookie. Now, he still remains on the roster. He hasn't been he's been charged with domestic violence. By impeding breathing for intentionally, knowingly, and recklessly causing bodily injury. So, kind of scary there. So, he has not been yet charged with anything, or he's been charged, but he has not been convicted of anything yet. If he is convicted, he could serve up to 10 years in prison.
I think I read the complaint that was Gladney and the woman, or I don't know if I had read this right, so I want to be careful with what I say, but something along the lines that they were going to agree to say that they had mended their relationship or whatever, and then Gladney wouldn't leave her alone. And that was, you know, a big issue. I mean, you hate seeing careers end like this. His career sounds like it's probably over. That was, remember how you went on ESPN and made the pick for the Titans in the Titans draft? Floyd picked Jeff Gladney for the Titans in the 2019 draft.
Dodged a bullet there.
But I will say this. It's not like the guy they picked in the first round did, you know, was much better than, you know, in fact, was
That's actually fair, less, probably, you know, than they did that year.
So what's next?
He at least played for a little bit. So,
oh, can we talk about, I'm so sorry to interrupt your headline segment, but you brought the Vikings.
Yes.
Did you see what Kirk Cousins said today?
Oh, that he's willing to put up plexiglass around his seat in meetings and hold meetings with his players outside because he is so against getting the vaccine.
Yes, but did you see the other thing? He said that he's been doing his research on the vaccine. He was asked if he had spoken to the NFL's chief medical officer, Dr. Alan Sills, and he said no.
So what research is he doing?
I don't know.
Twitter?
Let me tell you something, and I'm going to say this into the camera if you're watching the stream. There is legitimate research you can do. Talk to your medical professionals. The Vikings have a team doctor he can talk to. The NFLPA has a medical director he can talk to. Dr. Alan Sills, who works at Vanderbilt, is the chief medical officer of the NFL. Kirk Cousins can probably get a direct line to him. The Tucker Carlson TV show is not doing research, people. Going on YouTube is not doing research. Going to Caroline's point on Twitter, it's not doing research. So, if you are somebody who is hesitant at getting the vaccine, I understand. Don't do what other people, don't go to YouTube to research the help for the vaccine. Talk to a doctor. And I would say this. I do think there should be like a free doctor that everybody can call. you know, like multiple doctors, like, hey, St. Thomas, call this number right now. If you're concerned about the vaccine, call this number. You can talk to this doc, the doctor hotline, in order for people to talk to legitimate doctors that they can meet in person.
Like a Dear Abby, but for vaccines.
Yes. But again, Kirk Cousins is doing his own research, but he won't talk to the chief medical officer of the NFL. Freaking great. Oh, yes, good. Again, put the Tucker Carlson down, people, when it comes to health decisions.
Well, Kirk Cousins is on the COVID-19 reserve list. Kellen Mond and Nate Stanley, who are also quarterbacks for the Minnesota Vikings, are on the COVID-19 reserve list. So currently the Vikings have three quarterbacks on the COVID-19 reserve list. If this was happening a month, 2 months down the road, who is playing quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings? Are they going to have a Denver Broncos moment of last year when they put a guy in that was drafted as a wide receiver and has been working in sales for the past year as their quarterback?
Hey, fresh photos with the bomb lighting. New quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings.
Hey,
next?
Good one. Look
Boom,
at you.
Boom, let's go.
Good
let's
one.
Go. What's next?
So Greg Sankey, SEC commissioner, has just signed a contract extension.
Shocking.
Through 2026.
Greg Sankey's making more money, everybody. That's a surprise.
What has Greg Sankey been up to recently? He's been pretty chill as of late. No, but I think that's interesting timing through 2026. And this may be a total coincidence, but Texas and Oklahoma joined the SEC in 2025. So I think he'll be okay for another contract re-up after that expires in 2026. Well, and also, Greg Sankey has done some dealings with ESPN. It that has gotten buried with all the Texas and Oklahoma news. But come 2023 or 2024, ESPN and ABC hold all of the rights to the SEC. So he's getting a big-time payday from ESPN as well.
Well, let's be honest. When Greg Sankey worked out that big contract, when Greg Sankey worked out the 12-team college football playoff, when Greg Sankey worked out the deal to get Texas and Oklahoma into the SEC, and all they talked about with every deal was about all the money that they're going to make, you think Greg was putting in all that work and wasn't going to get a piece of the pie?
Yeah. I mean, he's like Kris Jenner. It's like, when does he sleep? He's constantly making any sort of deals to make a quick buck, and hey, it's working. So, of course, he's going to get a contract extension.
I just hate when he puts out statements. This is all I ask. It's all I ask.
Be transparent.
Well, not even that. Like, you don't have to tell us, hey, Jared, we're going to go get Texas and Oklahoma. You don't have to tell me that. But just don't put out statements where you talk about enriching the lives of student athletes. Stop. Like, that's all I ask.
Yeah.
Just cut that crap out and then come on. I mean, because
enriching the academic excellence of the SEC.
Greg Sankey is a politician. That's what he is. He's a politician. And I like Greg, but now I have to trust Greg and believe in Greg the same way that I trust and believe in politicians, which is not very much. So that's what we have there. Those are headlines with Caroline. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company. We are live from the Whole Sonic Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. I have an issue with a big topic in the NFL, and it does affect the Titans. And everybody says, well, they can't do that. And I'm trying to figure out, why not? We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming in the Game Nashville app.
Completely agree with Kimberly. It has to be Foles. Like, let's go back. Dak Prescott is struggling to get back into shape, and he's worked at it for a year.
Yeah.
39 years old, he's coaching. What kind of shape is he going to be in? Nick Foles is ready to go. And by the way, Greeny, what is that going to cost? Phillip Rivers is not going to come in for the veteran minimum. I've been down that road with some of these quarterbacks. It's really hard. When you suffer a preseason injury at the quarterback position, the way they're dealing with Carson Wentz, what we did with Ryan Tannehill a couple years ago, your options are so limited. And look, Phillip Rivers had a great career, but it's over.
That was Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN, talking about, look, the best option for Indianapolis is Nick Foles. Now, I have two thoughts on this. Number one, I hope Indianapolis doesn't get Nick Foles because I think Nick Foles has a pulse, whereas Jacob Eason, I'm reading, is not even good enough to beat out Sam Ehlinger in practice right now. And I hate doing this. Because I used
Longhorn
to do this.
Nation,
well, I used to do this when I was on the air in Louisville, and we talk about the NBA. The NBA draft is always a big deal in Louisville every year because there's about six Kentucky players and one or two Louisville players that gets drafted, and it's kind of like a graduation every year of the basketball classes, which is a big deal in Louisville for U of L and UK. But the reason I bring this up is because what happens is everybody who plays in the NBA, everybody who lives in Louisville, the number one college basketball market in America, they just believe whatever that guy was in college. Like, they don't understand the concept that, oh, a guy could get a little bit better in 7 years since they left college. So I understand the idea that I saw Sam Ehlinger play in college, but I just think Sam Ehlinger sucks. So the idea that he could come in and be a starting quarterback in the NFL and beat the Seahawks, Rams, Titans, Dolphins, Ravens does not compute with me. So I hope he's their starting quarterback, if it's not Eason. Now, I still think Eason's probably not good either because I saw him in college too. Now, he had a year there, whatever. But I hope they roll with the young guys. And the reason I hope they roll with the young guys is because I don't think the young guys can win. I don't want them to trade for Nick Foles. Because if they acquire Nick Foles, I think there's a chance Chicago probably releases him anyways. If they pick him up and he's their starting quarterback, while I still am not worried about the Colts and I still think the Titans should beat the Colts, I think they've got a much better chance to beat the Titans than if it's the other way around. But every time you bring up Nick Foles, there's always somebody that says, Indy can't go after Nick Foles. TD did it an hour ago on the program where he said they can't go get Nick Foles because that would mess up Carson Wentz mentally, which I think we all understand, right?
I get it, yeah.
But
I don't agree with it, but I get it.
Don't you have to be mentally tough to play in the NFL? Like, I understand the idea that Wentz was the starter in Philadelphia and Foles was the backup and Wentz went down and Foles took him to the Super Bowl and everybody was happy. And then when they lost a little bit with Wentz, the locker room wanted Foles more and then it was splintered. And like, isn't that life? Don't you have to go outplay the other guy? Now, it's one thing when we're talking about a guy's feelings, and it does matter. A guy's feelings, it does matter. I've told you, I don't think the Green Bay Packers can win the Super Bowl this year because Aaron is too caught up in his feelings. But at the same time, I didn't worry last year about Dak Prescott playing without a contract, knowing that Andy Dalton was sitting behind him. And I don't think Dak worried about having Andy behind him either. So if you bring in Foles, shouldn't Wentz be able to not worry about that? And if Wentz can't worry about, if Wentz can't handle that, how can he possibly be fixed in between the years by Frank Reich? So the more I hear about this, they can't play Foles. They cannot play Nick Foles. They cannot bring in Nick Foles. They should go with Jacob Eason and do what most of us assume would be lose because they can't bring in Nick Foles. Then doesn't that tell me all I need to know about Wentz? I mean, I like Tannehill, and Logan Woodside is not a threat to him as the backup quarterback. But I don't, if they brought Marcus back, I don't think it would mess with Tannehill. Tannehill has the confidence. In fact, Tannehill has the toughness of raising his hand in the air, saying, I will take less money, I will go to Tennessee, I will be the backup quarterback, and I will act like a backup quarterback, and he did it. Don't you need that resiliency to be a good quarterback in the NFL? Don't you need that toughness, like at some point along the way? Peyton Manning, for example, is going into the Hall of Fame. But how about the resilience of the team that you turned around, the team that you saved? He saved the Indianapolis Colts. The mayor of Indianapolis, when Peyton was there, said in The Athletic, we don't build that stadium if it's not for what Peyton did for that city. And they dumped him the second they were able to get Andrew Luck. He was mentally tough enough to go to Denver, win a league MVP, and win a Super Bowl. And they played for another. Every great quarterback faces some sort of adversity at some point in their career. Now, it may ruin you in one place, but I have always believed that, I mean, you got to be tough. Steve McNair got booed when he was quarterback of the Titans. He had Neil O'Donnell sitting behind him. He found a way. Rich Gannon was bounced from Kansas City, made it to Oakland, league MVP. Who remembers Steve Young in Tampa Bay and how awful he and they were? Hall of Fame. I get it. I understand you don't want to mess with Carson Wentz's head and what happened in Philadelphia, it messed with his head, but I hold that against Wentz. When people tell me, oh, Frank Reich will get Wentz straight, I think to myself, is really drafting Jalen Hurts is that really, I mean, if that's going to be what sends my quarterback off the rails, can he really be my quarterback? Tua Tagovailoa has to go through that in Miami right now. He got pulled during the season for Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's got Jacoby Brissett, a guy who started in the league, sitting behind him. And by the way, the Miami Dolphins have multiple first-round picks in next year's draft. So if they don't like Tua, they can move up and they can draft another quarterback. And guess what? Tua's going to have to get over it. Just like Tua had to get over it when he had to sit on the bench as a true freshman. Just like the guy who beat out Carson Wentz for the job last year in Philadelphia had to sit on the bench after getting sent there in the national championship game in Jalen Hurts. You will never hear me say a bad word about Jalen Hurts. I'm not even sure Jalen Hurts can really play at this level as a starting quarterback. But you will never hear me think, boy, I wouldn't want Jalen Hurts on my team. So all of the crybabiness that I feel like I've heard about this, you can't bring in Nick Foles. And I'm not doubting TD, because as I said, TD wrote the book on Carson Wentz. You can literally go on Amazon and there is a book about Carson Wentz written by Teron Davenport. But that doesn't that tell you all you need to know about Wentz?
I have a question for you.
Okay.
With Carson Wentz, the Indianapolis Colts, their first five games, Seahawks, Rams, Titans, Dolphins, Ravens. With Carson Wentz, how many games are they winning?
Two, maybe.
Without Carson Wentz, let's say with Nick Foles, how many are they winning?
One or two.
Then what's the point?
Well, the point here is that you don't have either guy right now.
Well,
because with Sam Ehlinger, you're not winning any of those games.
With Jacob Eason,
you're probably not winning any of those games.
So how much will the Colts have to pay Nick Foles?
So I think I heard on ESPN $4 million.
So are those games worth $4 million? I mean, I guess so. I mean, if your cap is what, the Colts have $11 million in cap space.
I always thought the Colts had more money than that. They've always had like a bajillion dollars every year going to free agency.
It shocks me they don't have more, because right. Who are they paying?
Right. It's like Warren Buffett. I mean, I don't know where this money goes, but I would say this, right? Even if I don't think Indy is ready to compete for a Super Bowl, everybody else seems to think Indy is ready to compete for a Super Bowl, as long as they get the quarterback right. You know, pre-injury to Wentz and to Nelson, it was, if you get them a quarterback, they are ready to compete for the Super Bowl. Now, I didn't believe that, but they believe that. Well, you're going to let this season that you thought you were going to compete for the Super Bowl just go down the drain because you don't want to go out and get Nick Foles? I mean,
I don't think that's letting it go down the drain.
You're going to put Jacob Eason out there.
Let's say if it is 5 weeks. Let's say Jacob Eason can pick up one win against the Dolphins. You start the season 1-4. Not ideal. They're not the only team to lose four games and still go to the postseason and still make a run for the Super Bowl.
Though the percentages would tell you.
The percentages aren't great, but I wouldn't say it's throwing your season away. And of course you have the question mark about exactly what the timeline is, because you have the game against the Texans. I think Jacob Eason can get a win against Houston.
I would not let the Titans go in. Now again, I haven't seen these guys at practice.
Mm-hmm.
I would not allow the Titans to go in with those two quarterbacks. Like, you would hear me just screaming every day if they went in with those quarterbacks.
If you knew that Ryan Tannehill was coming back in the middle of the season.
Yes.
Okay,
now, like, now people will say this about Logan Woodside, because knock on wood, if Tannehill goes down, Logan's going in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Logan is, outside of Mariota, I think Logan is the best option the Titans could have at backup quarterback that knows your system that you can get. I mean, I'd like you to go get Matt Ryan and bring Matt Ryan into, but he'd be the best option that knows your system. Yes. And nobody around the country would believe that. Like, I could go on ESPN the day after that happens. And I could say, you know, Greeny, I really think the Titans trust Logan Woodside. I'm not saying I trust Logan Woodside, but they trust Logan Woodside, and I understand why. And I get laughed off of television if I said something like that. But that is what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Indy believes in these two guys. I mean, Reich said they're going to give Eason every chance to win that job, but I don't think they believe in those two guys. That's just my take on it. I mean, that is, I think they're waiting for Chicago to release Foles. And then when Chicago releases Foles, because nobody carries three quarterbacks anymore, so you got Dalton, Fields, and Foles. When they release Foles, who's not going to play, then I think Indy will sign. I believe Indy will look at this and say, look, Carson, we don't have a choice. And you got to hope that Carson understands. It's not like they're bringing in Foles because Wentz stinks. They're bringing in Foles because Wentz is hurt.
Right.
And that's what I think they're going to do. And I hope they don't do it. Because when you ask me how many games can Indianapolis win if Nick Foles is the quarterback, and I said two, one of those could be against Titans.
Mm-hmm.
So I am nervous about, well, I'm not nervous. I would not want Foles playing the Titans if my choice was Foles or Eason. I'd rather have Eason playing the Titans than Foles. That's all I'm saying.
But I'm still not overwhelmingly scared of the Colts with Nick Foles.
I'm not, but I'm more scared than I am with Eason, and that's all that matters to me. We'll get to your phones on it next because I see you lining up. 615-737-1025. For all the people out there, like the other day, was it 2 days ago that the Colts, I guess Nashville area Colt fans, got all bent out of shape.
Yeah, they were not happy with
us. Just all mad. They were mad on the YouTube stream.
Mm-hmm.
They were mad on the Periscope. They were mad on the text line. I mean, they were mad.
They were coming out the woodworks.
If your quarterback, if you believe your quarterback can win for you in the NFL, don't you think he has to be at least mentally tough enough to be on the same roster with a guy who did nothing wrong to him? That's all I ask. 615-737-1025. What are your phones next? Stillman & Company. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.
I've been critical, and I've talked about this all summer long. There was no plan at left tackle when Costanza was talking.
Yep.
Now you don't know who that is. There was no plan at quarterback unless you really believe in Eason, and my people are telling me they really do, but they don't because of what you just said. I mean, I've been all over Chris, but I like Chris. Chris comes in. He's great. He's a friend. We text. But, man, everybody telling me he's the greatest drafter, blah, blah. I guess we're going to see, but shouldn't he maybe have had a plan in place for the quarterback position?
Dan Dockich, Indianapolis, 1070 The Fan. Let me say this, and I'm not a huge Dockich fan. I love that clip every time. Every time we play it. The greatest general manager in the history. Fitz came on the show yesterday. You know I love Jason Fitz.
Mm-hmm.
I got him his job here. He helped get you your job here.
Mm-hmm.
I love Fitz, but he came on, I was like, they have a Super Bowl roster. I'm like, name me someone on the defense. I mean, again, I love him, but I'm like, okay, other than Buckner and Leonard, name me somebody else on the defense. Super Bowl roster. Everybody just thinks Indy's great. And here's the local guy, Dan Dockich. Yeah, we're a buddy. We text, you know, but what's the plan at quarterback? And this is where they are. Again, I would bring in Nick Foles if I was Indianapolis. And Ian brought up the point that I've been thinking about and I just haven't said yet. Which is, boy, Foles was freaking terrible. When they played here last year and Foles was quarterbacking Chicago, the Titans acquired Desmond King on like Tuesday, and he had a touchdown. Was it a pick six or a fumble return for a touchdown? I want to say it was a fumble.
I don't think it was a pick six.
Yeah, I think it was a fumble return for a touchdown. He had a touchdown on Sunday, and that Bears team was freaking awful, and Foles was terrible. It was the day I moved into my house. It was awful. Let's go to your phones. As promised, phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam has been waiting patiently on Nick Foles. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, so I don't really care for the Foles idea, man. I think Carson Wentz is, like, physically and emotionally a very weak player. I've always thought it. He gets hurt so much. If I was a Colts fan, I'd be so mad. But what about Rivers, man? Why is he not even, like, thought of? He knows the offense. I don't personally like Rivers, but professionally he carried them, I think, as far as they could go last year, and they got better. So I don't see why you wouldn't just call him.
So thank you for your call. Rivers put it out there the other day that he was going to stay in shape and give a team a chance if they wanted to call. But then yesterday Rivers said, I'm going to coach the high school team through the end of the year, which is October or November. Basically, what Rivers was putting out there was, I'm going to stay in shape, and if your quarterback goes down for the rest of the year on November 17th and you need a quarterback to come in to quarterback that last month, basically do what Nick Foles did when Carson Wentz got hurt in Philadelphia, I'll do it. But Indy's got $11 million in cap space. Wentz is not leaving – or Wentz. Rivers, who's got a bajillion dollars in the bank – is not leaving the high school team to go quarterback the Colts, and he's certainly not doing it for $11 million. So I would prefer Foles over Rivers as far as the Titans are concerned. I would prefer Indianapolis go with Foles over Rivers because I think Rivers has a better chance to beat the Titans, but Rivers made it clear yesterday to Chris Mortensen that he's not interested in doing anything until the high school season is over. So I'm not – that is not – but, yes, I am with you – that if I was Indy, I'd call Rivers before I call Foles.
Oh, for sure.
Even though Mike Tannenbaum said that he would call Foles before Rivers. Bob is up next here on the show. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Jared, you were talking about earlier about how Tannehill came in and was the backup and did his job the way he's supposed to do and didn't cause any problems. Can you imagine if Carson Wentz had the year that Tannehill's had for the last 2 years and was getting the same non-recognition that Tannehill's getting? Can you imagine what Wentz would be whining and crying about not being praised for what Tannehill has accomplished and no one praises him for it?
So, thank you for your call, Bob. I do not understand sometimes the way we treat quarterbacks and how we treat them differently sometimes based upon, and I don't even know what it is, because I would agree with Bob. If Wentz had the year that Tannehill's had the last 2 years, if Wentz ends up in an AFC or NFC championship game, oh my God, the pantsing of just, oh, how great Carson Wentz is. Oh my God. Frank Reich saved him and Chris Ballard, the greatest general manager who ever lived, fixed him. And it's a miracle in Indianapolis.
Well, I feel like people make up their minds. And I think it's not exclusive to the quarterback position, but I think that it is more prevalent in the quarterback position. People make up their minds about a certain player, a certain quarterback, and it doesn't change.
Sure. If they think you suck, then they think you suck.
Tannehill, for example. Yep. People made up their minds when Tannehill was in Miami that Tannehill sucks. And it's going to take a whole lot more for Tannehill to change people's minds than it is for people's minds to be changed about Carson Wentz, in my opinion.
So I say that, but then Baker Mayfield, they thought he was the greatest thing since sliced bread after he won the Rookie of the Year.
And then people turned on him real quick.
And then the next year, everyone hated Baker. And then they made the playoffs and everybody liked Baker. And then they lost in the playoffs and now everybody hates Baker. And I don't understand how they feel about Baker.
Is that the Browns effect?
I don't know. But like Lamar Jackson, I mean, the guy gets in the playoffs and he doesn't really do much. I mean, you gave him the game last year.
Mm-hmm.
And Lamar Jackson doesn't really do much in the playoffs, but everybody loves him.
Everyone loves Lamar Jackson.
They love Lamar Jackson. I'm trying to think, like, quarterbacks.
Everyone loves Kyler Murray.
Oh, my God, they love Kyler Murray.
Loves Kyler Murray.
Guy hasn't done crap in the NFL, and everybody loves him. I mean, just, like, golf was one where they kind of flipped. Like,
yeah, I mean, everyone loves Jared Goff. I mean, obviously. I mean, he brought his team to a Super Bowl.
He's tanked
in popularity.
Here's what bothers me about golf, right? And nobody talks about this. Like, and here's why I think that everyone, they've flipped on golf. Because they never really cared about golf.
Mm.
They like McVay.
That's
so
fair. They like the Rams.
They think McVay is the one that's doing all the doing and not golf. And here's where it bothers me. Because I think there are two chapters of Jared Goff's career in Los Angeles. There was with Todd Gurley, and there was without Todd Gurley.
Drastically different.
It's like, I think there was a stat on Good Morning Football when they decided not
you
to talk about
show.
People's cleats. And they were discussing, like, Roger Saffold, with him in the lineup, his team's rushed for X amount of yards per game over the last handful of years. It was like, here's what the Rams were with Saffold, and here's what they were without Saffold. Mm-hmm. Here's what the Titans were with him. And I'm thinking to myself, he blocked for Todd Gurley and Derrick Henry. Not to knock on Roger Saffold, he's a good player. But he blocked for Todd Gurley and Derrick Henry. I'm going to say this about Derrick Henry. Taylor Lewan, Roger Saffold, Ben Jones, Nate Davis, Jack Conklin. You can make the argument that all five guys were at one point in their career the highest paid player at their position, except for Davis, who, if the guard market were to open up today, would probably command a contract as one of the highest paid guards in the league. Conklin was the highest paid right tackle. Lewan was the highest paid left tackle. Saffold's making more than $11 million, $12, $14 million a year. And Jones has always made a nice, decent chunk of change as the center of the Titans. Conklin gets hurt. Kelly comes in. Lewan gets hurt. Sam Brillo comes in. Quessen Berry comes in. Saffold misses a game. Aaron Brewer comes in. Nate Davis misses some games. Jameel Douglas plays. And Derrick Henry still wins the rushing title. Won it the year before. Won it this year. Doesn't matter if it's Dennis Kelly. Doesn't matter if it's Jack Conklin. Doesn't matter. I mean, at some point, it's about the running back. Now, I think the offensive line's fine. But Derrick Henry ran for 238 yards against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I believe Quentin Spain was on that team. So, you see the point I'm trying to make?
Yes.
Like, let's be honest when we're talking about, you know, how important this is. So everyone flips on Goff because they think McVay is the second coming of coaching, when in reality, maybe it was life's a little bit more difficult when you don't have Todd Gurley in the backfield. Just like with Tannehill, life's a little bit more difficult when you're in Miami with Adam Gase as your coach and you don't have Derrick Henry. Just a thought. What's in the text line?
The Canadian Titan texts in and says, if Wentz and Nelson are able to come back relatively early in the season and the Colts end up still being bad, do you think that would be the push necessary for national media to stop the Colts love fest? The team is so overrated.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I think the national media is always going to hate the Titans and they're always going to love the Colts. And I don't say that as a Titan fan. I just say that as somebody who keeps it real. Like, as somebody who watches this stuff. I mean, Ian, if you could get that Colin Coward, well, don't worry about it. Colin Coward the other day said Indy's done everything right for the last 3 years. And here's Dan Dockich, the local guy, being like, he's buddies with Ballard, texts with Ballard, and is like, yeah, I'm on his butt. I mean, come on now. 615-737-1025. We'll get back to your texts and your reaction, your calls as well. But I do have a Predators thought. I want to sneak in a Predators thought. I know it's August 5th. But I got to sneak in a Predator stop. We'll do that next. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. And let's give away some James Taylor tickets later in the hour as well. And since there's not a lot left of the hour, you know that that's probably upcoming very, very soon. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The ultimate social experience is coming to Nashville. My Wine Society presents Blended Festival August 13th and 14th at First Horizon Park with live performances by Cascade, Little John, Matt Stell, Blanco Brown, Bryce Fine, and more. Enjoy Blended's massive 100-foot wine tasting tent and indulge in culinary activation by Nashville's hottest chefs. There's also Blended's relaxing wellness lounge, VIP village, and a whole lot more. Get Blended. Tickets on sale now at blendedfestival.com. Use promo code Cromwell at checkout for 10% off your ticket. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Can you take us through why you would protect Janot over a guy like Yarncroke, who has contributed so much for so long, or a guy like Sissons, obviously? And how is the relationship with Sissons after not being protected?
Again, you all due respect, you don't know as much as I know in terms of what I truly believed and knew was going to happen in this expansion draft from talking to Seattle. I think our younger players, you mentioned Janot's name, which is a good name. Another name is Carrier, as a young defenseman. Both of these players came from Milwaukee. Both of these players were not particularly ticketed to play a lot of games for us this year. And both of those players played very important parts in our team as the year, especially in the second half of the season, where, you know, Carrier played with Yossi in the top pairing. Janot, Sissons, Trent, and Olivier formed what we called our identity line, herd line, if you will. They were our fourth line. But I think everybody who was watching this closely saw that they played in a lot more valuable situations than our third line. And I think they're a big part of what we have going forward. There's a price to pay in expansion. Some teams, again, respectfully, didn't have to give up as much as us. We just were in that situation where the players that we had, who we had to protect, there had to be somebody to make available. And my final decision was that we had to protect our younger players. I mean,
Twitter loved that one from David Boyle.
I love that one.
With all due respect, I know more than you.
I know more than
and
you.
And Twitter loved it. Jared. Got you. What a way to go, David. Well, guess who's not saying way to go, David? The Athletic. Now, again, I'm not an analytics guy, but all those people out there that are way to go, David, the Preds Twitter people, they are analytic people. So The Athletic has come up with their wins added list. They ranked all the teams in the NHL by how many wins they've added in free agency, expansion, trades, the offseason, you name it. Guess where the Predators check in? Now, remember, well, David knows more than I do.
Yes, of course he does. Well, okay, but also, can we just establish the fact that he should know more than you? Like, he should know more about the team than you. He is the general manager of the Predators.
So I would say yes, except for the fact that, I mean, I said don't sign Ryan Ellis to an extension, trade him and get the prospects and picks. They didn't do that.
But, like, in theory,
I said, the general manager of the team should know more than you. They didn't sell at the trade deadline because I said they couldn't beat Carolina or Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. I said, don't give up a first-round pick for Ryan Hartman. I mean, I've been pretty straightforward on some of this stuff. And again, I'm not here to play scoreboard, but The Athletic, let's see if David knows more than them. Because the Predators ranked 28th in the league in wins added. Here's what they say. Wins added, -4 wins in David Rittich, Philip Myers, Cody Glass, Matt Luff, whoever that is, out Ryan Ellis, Victor Arvidsson, Callie Yarncroke, Eric Halla, Pekarinen. Quote, the rebuild is officially on with the team trading away Ryan Ellis and Victor Arvidsson, though the package for the former was thoroughly underwhelming. Philip Myers and Cody Glass don't look like they'll be impact NHLers given their current trajectory leaving Nashville with not much to show for a top pair defenseman. Given the market for those this summer, it felt like a huge misstep. Losing Callie Yarncroke to expansion, the move that David knows more about than all of us, also hurts the team's bottom line, and barring some major bounce back for key forwards, Nashville looks a lot worse than it did a couple of months ago in the playoffs. It'll be difficult to get back there now. So The Athletic just craps all over everything that David has done, and more importantly, everything that David has told you, right? Like, they trade Ryan Ellis for Philip Myers and Cody Glass, and they're selling us on, hey, Myers is going to be a top pair defenseman. Just give him a little time. Glass is a top. He was the sixth pick in the draft. He's going to reinvent his career here. They say no. Well,
why do we trust them?
What about Callie Yarncroke? Well, we'll just let him go. I know more than you do. And they say no. So.
But why do we trust them?
The Athletic?
Yeah.
Well, in this case, because that narrative is literally backing up everything that I'm saying. Okay. I mean, like, I believe it. Like, and they're using their analytic models. You know I don't give one crap about that.
I know you do.
Oh, I could not give two poops about how they got to the -4
then
wins.
Then we are not using analytics.
Nope, we're using it.
We cannot use analytics now when it's convenient for you.
Stillman and company. Judge says, yes.
You
-4 wins.
No.
-4 wins. And I'll say this. Do you think they're a playoff team today?
No.
So then what are we doing?
But do they don't need to be a playoff team.
We don't want, we want them to be a playoff team.
Of course we want them to be a playoff team.
But yes, they do. In order to justify what they're doing right now, the competitive rebuild, mm-hmm. The competitive part of that is that you try to make the playoffs, that you make the playoffs. I mean, you're going to tell me this. If they don't make the playoffs this year, you're going to extend John Hines' contract.
I would have a really hard time doing that. But if you establish from the beginning, we are rebuilding.
They won't do it.
We have no expectations.
Do you know I'm for that? They
Our
won't do
eyes
it.
Are on the future.
They won't do it.
I know.
Like, that's my point.
But if those were the expectations and they didn't make the playoffs, then you can't blame John Hines for that.
If David Poile had come up to us at the trade deadline and said, guys, I'm really excited with what I'm watching from this team. I love these young guys. I love the energy. Saros has been fantastic. But we got to move on from some guys.
And we have a new vision.
We need to start building for the future. If he had said that, I don't know how the fans would have reacted. I don't know how the get them Twitter would have reacted. I don't know how they would have reacted. I know how I would have looked at it, which is this is the competent decision. I understand the idea that, okay, look, we went for it. We made some moves. It didn't work. We paid dearly. Now, normally when you make moves, you pay dearly and it doesn't work. Normally the architect of the guy pulling the strings on those moves normally does not keep their job. Mm-hmm. But okay, let's just say that, you know, not going to cry over spilt milk here. I can live with that. I can live with David saying, hey, we thought we had our run. It's over. We're shipping everything away. Next year's going to suck. The year after that's going to be tough, but we believe in the process. Okay. They're not doing that. Like, they're not doing that. I've told you. My hope for this season, and I just picked out my, you know, I got my season tickets and everything. I hope they're either really good or they're really bad. I'm afraid it's going to be more in between than anything else. And then that'll leave us in the purgatory state that we find ourselves in when discussing this team, which is there's an argument on both sides of it. I think the thing here, though, that I at least am pointing out is that all of the things that David Poyle says that I've questioned for the last 5 months, you know, the trade deadline stuff and the protecting Jeannot and that the people who don't think like me also question at the exact same extent. That is concerning. You know, you ever had that thing where you walk into a room? I've always wondered these things. Like when a coach gets hired that shouldn't get hired.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wondered, and I don't mean a guy who's a bad coach, but I mean a guy that, you know, like when we heard the report that TSU was thinking about hiring Ray Lewis.
I mean.
And when you go into a room of people, and I think anybody who makes decisions has to have a room of people that they trust. When you go into a room of people and you say, we're thinking about bringing in Ray Lewis as our coach, there's got to be somebody in there that says, whoa, whoa, whoa.
And if someone's not willing to pull out a stop sign on that, you need a new group of people.
So every move that they've made this offseason, the way they're trying to couch it, I've been like, whoa, wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense. You know, this does not make sense. And now The Athletic, I think this is Dom Lashusen or whatever it is, the analytic guy at The Athletic, the guy who thinks the exact opposite of me, the guy who comes up with his opinions exactly how I don't come up with my opinions, is thinking the exact same thing. That's one of those things where everybody in the room is trying to tell you. And that's what I find frustrating. And I hope the fans understand that it's not like it's personal. I don't have any problem with David Poyle. I don't know how he feels about me, but I'm going to guess it's not peachy. But I have no problem with him. He's fine. He's a good guy. He's had a Hall of Fame career. But these moves, they don't make any sense. -4 wins. And then they shed the salary, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
What are they using it on? I mean, that's where I, like, I don't... Like, where you, what do you shed $10 million in salary? You brought back Mikhail Granlund for $2 million more than you paid him last year. What are you doing with the rest of the money? You're bringing in guys and you're telling us Philip Myers and Cody Glass, those guys are going to fit right in. And the Athletic guys, they're not even NHL players. I've told you, I think Tanner Jeannot is a replacement level player. That is a guy that you can go to Milwaukee and you can get. And you give him Cal Yarncroke for that? Just doesn't add up to me. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Adam Vingan, and I'm going to just say this for the record. Adam Vingan says you have no idea what our model even says. You have crapped on my analysis using that same model. Well, you know what? That is when it's telling that me and the model that don't see eye to eye are seeing the same thing.
Do you know what game score value added is?
Coming up next.
Then you can't.
We
use
do
it.
A little buy or sell on the Titans at training camp. What is for real? What isn't? That's next. Stillman and Capity. Let's give away those James Taylor tickets, as I promised. Be caller 5 right now at 615-737-1025. Good luck to you. And you will be seeing James Taylor with a pair of tickets at Bridgestone Arena on Monday, August 16th. Good luck. Stillman and Capity. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.